Welcome, everyone. Glad you are here. Today, we will explore recursive functions like factorial and Fibonacci, how their call trees grow, and what that means for efficiency. From frames to self-calls. Let's start with a quick recap. When we draw an environment diagram, each frame is basically a set of bindings, a name pointing to a value. So you can think in this frame, X maps to 3, M maps to 5, and so on. Now we make a new move. We are going to let a procedure refer to itself. That self-call is what we mean by recursion. The key question is, what happens to our frames when a procedure calls itself again and again?
So after we trace factorial, are we mainly looking at the shape of the process like a chain of calls and then measuring how expensive it is? And when you say cost, do you mean theta time and theta space?
Exactly. We will trace factorial, then describe the process shape, what the cost structure looks like, and finally, we will count the cost. Theta time is how the number of steps grows with n, and theta space is how much memory we need, especially how many frames are alive at once on the call stack. A definition can compute. Here is the classic example factorial. We define n factorial like this. If n equals 0, n factorial equals 1. If n is greater than 0, n factorial equals n times n minus 1 factorial. Notice what this does. It keeps shrinking the input until it hits the base case. Exactly. The definition generates a recursive process. Expand using the rule, reduce to a smaller input, and stop at the base case. For 4 factorial, you would go 4 times 3 factorial, then 4 times 3 times 2 factorial, then 4 times 3 times 2 times 1 factorial. And finally, you use the base case 0 factorial equals 1 to finish the computation. A definition can actually compute something when it has two parts, a base case and a rule that reduces the problem to a smaller subproblem. That smaller subproblem part is what turns the definition into a step-by-step process.
So the key question is, what process does this definition generate, right? Like if I start with 4 factorial, am I supposed to trace it as 4 times 3 factorial, then 3 times 2 factorial, and keep going until I reach 0 factorial?
Factorial in Python. Linear recursion. Today we are looking at factorial in Python using linear recursion. The key idea starts with the base case, when n equals 0. In code, that is where we stop recursing and return 1. So the function has a clear endpoint. Exactly. The base case at n equals 0 is the turnaround point, and the shrink step n to n minus 1 guarantees we get there. Because we only make one recursive call each time, this is linear recursion, not an exponential blow-up. Then we have the recursive case where we shrink the problem n maps to n minus 1. So factorial of n becomes n times factorial of n minus 1, and each call reduces n by 1 until we hit 0.
So if I trace it factorial of 4, calls factorial of 3, then 2, then 1, then 0, and only then it starts returning back up the stack, multiplying as it goes, right?
Recursive case. Shrink n to n minus 1. Tracing fact of 4. Expansion then contraction. Today we are tracing fact of 4, and the key idea is expansion then contraction. As the function calls itself, the call stack grows frame by frame like stacking plates. Then, once we hit the base case, those frames unwind in reverse order, returning values back down the stack.
So when you say the frames build up, is that basically one new stack frame for fact of 4, then fact of 3, then fact of 2, and so on until it stops?
Exactly. Now, focus on this checkpoint, the order of the enter prints for input 4. During the expansion phase, the enter messages appear top-down. Enter fact 4, then enter fact 3, then enter fact 2, then enter fact 1, and finally the base case. Only after that do we see the contraction phase, where returns happen in the opposite direction.
Wait, so the enter prints are all in the forward direction as we go deeper, but the results come back in reverse as we unwind, right? That is the part I always mix up.
checkpoint, the order of the enterprise for input 4. Tree recursion, Fibonacci as the cautionary tale. Today we are looking at tree recursion with Fibonacci as the cautionary tale. First, contrast it with linear recursion. In linear recursion, each call makes one self-call, so the computation forms a single chain. Factorial, n factorial, is the classic example. To compute n factorial, you just compute n minus 1 factorial, and so on. Now, tree recursion. Each call makes two self-calls. Fibonacci is the famous case. To compute fib of n, you compute fib of n minus 1 and fib of n minus 2, and each of those calls splits again. Instead of a chain, you get a branching tree of calls, and the number of calls can grow very quickly.
So even though fib of n is just one number, the program is doing two recursive calls at every step, and that creates this whole tree, right? Is that why it can blow up exponentially when you try to trace it for like n equals 30 or 40?
Exactly. And the key detail is repeated work. The tree contains many copies of the same subproblems, like fib of 5, getting recomputed again and again from different branches. That is why Fibonacci is a cautionary tale. Two self-calls per call can turn a simple definition into a huge amount of computation. Tree recursion. Two self-calls per call, like fib of n. The fib of 5-call tree and exponential time. Let us look at the fib of 5-call tree and why it takes exponential time. When you compute fib 5 recursively, it expands into lots of repeated subcalls. For example, fib 5 turns into fib 4 plus fib 3, and then fib 4 turns into fib 3 plus fib 2. Notice what is already happening. Fib 3 shows up more than once, and that repetition keeps multiplying as n grows.
So even though the definition is simple, the call tree keeps redoing the same work, right? Like fib 3 gets computed in multiple branches, and then each of those recomputes fib 2 and fib 1 again?
Call tree start, fib 5, fib 4, plus fib 3, and fib 4, fib 3, plus fib 2. Exactly. To make that precise, let 10 be the number of calls made when we run fibn. The structure of the recursion gives us tn equals tn minus 1 plus tn minus 2 plus a constant amount of extra work for the current call. That means kn grows like the Fibonacci numbers themselves. So the running time is on the order of phi to the n, and the space is theta of n, because the deepest recursion stack only goes down by 1 each level. So t of n grows like the Fibonacci numbers, giving time theta of phi to the n and space theta of n. Checkpoint question, and I want you to think by tracing the tree. In the full call tree for fib 6, how many times do we hit a base case meaning calls where n is less than or equal to 1? The expected total is 21 base case calls, with fib 0 happening 8 times and fib 1 happening 13 times. Memoization. Same recursion, no repeats. Memoization means we keep the same recursive idea, but we stop doing the same work over and over. The key move is a cache, basically a dictionary, where the key is k and the value is fib of k. So the first time we compute fib of, say, 7, we store it. And the next time we need fib of 7, we just look it up.
So when the recursion asks for fib of 7 again, we do not branch into more calls, we just grab the stored answer from the dictionary? That feels like it would stop the exponential blowup.
Exactly. With memoization, each fib of k gets computed once, then reused. That is why the growth becomes linear. Time is theta of n, because there are only n distinct subproblems from 0 up to n. And space is also theta of n because the cache holds up to n stored values. Growth, time, theta of n. space set of n. Iteration as a process carries state explicitly. When we say iteration is a process, the key idea is that we carry the state explicitly. Here, the state is the pair A and B. Our invariant is this. After k updates the pair AB equals fib of k plus 1, fib of k. In other words, A is always the next Fibonacci number and B is the current one.
So if I stop after, say, k updates, I can read off fib of k directly from B and fib of k plus 1 from A? That feels almost too clean. How do we know it stays true?
We keep it true by updating the entire state in one step. Each iteration replaces AB with A plus BA. Conceptually, we are shifting the pair forward. The new A becomes the sum, which is the next Fibonacci number, and the new B becomes the old A, which is now the current Fibonacci number.
Can we trace one step to be sure? If I start with some AB, then after the update, B becomes the old A, and A becomes old A plus old B. So the pair moves forward together instead of recomputing everything from scratch.
Each step updates the whole state with open parentheses A, B close parentheses, gets updated to open parentheses A plus B, A close parentheses. Counting change, recursion for real decomposition. Today, we are counting change using recursion by decomposing the problem into two choices. The split rule is for a given coin, either we skip that coin entirely or we use it at least once. Those two branches cover every valid way to make the amount without double counting.
So when you say skip versus use, do we literally make two recursive calls, one where we move on to the next coin and one where we keep the same coin and reduce the amount?
Exactly. And to make that recursion stop, we rely on base cases. If the amount A equals 0, that means we have formed the amount successfully, so we return one way. If A is less than 0, we overshot, so return 0. And if we run out of coins while A is still positive, there is no way to finish, so that also returns 0.
That makes sense, but I always get surprised by how big the recursion tree can get. Even with those base cases, does this split rule still blow up exponentially without memoization?
Base cases. A equals 0 gives 1 a less than 0, or no coins gives 0. Exit ticket. Predict, then explain. Exit ticket time. Predict first, then explain. Practice prompt list. The different ways to make $10 using only 1, 5, and $10 coins. Before you calculate, make a quick prediction. Will there be just a few ways or a lot, and why?
If we can use as many coins as we want, I think it could blow up fast, like exponential, but I am not sure. Are we counting different orders as different ways, or just combinations like 10 ones and 1 10 are the same no matter the order?
Good clarification. Count combinations, not order. So one $10 coin is one way, and 10 $1 coins is another way, regardless of how you arrange them. As you work, try tracing your reasoning so you can explain how you know you found them all. Reflection question. When should you prefer memoization versus an iterative process? Think about what happens when subproblems repeat and how quickly the number of calls can grow if you do not reuse results. Then compare that to an iterative approach where you build answers step by step without recursion. Thanks for watching this. Subscribe to Thinking in Math channel for this and other interesting math topics. And we always welcome your feedbacks. Leave your questions and suggestions in the comments.